my name is Miranda Curzon, and I'm based here locally at the University of Minnesota. I'd like to start by thanking Jeff and Adrian for inviting me to speak to you guys. It's been great to hear about a lot of the results in general, but especially from the LTSP network, which I've also had the benefit of working with. I'll start by acknowledging my co-authors, Tony D'Amato, now at the University of Vermont, and Brian Pollack, who works with the Forest Service, also based here in Minnesota. And so the sites that I'm working with are dominated by aspen forests, but they're distributed across the Lake States region. I'd also like to acknowledge a number of other folks that have helped with the project over time. That includes Don Perala, David Alvin, Doug Stone, who aren't up there, but who were part of the project initially, especially here in the Lake States region, just planning it and implementing it. John Elioff, who is listed, has done a lot of the field work, managed those data, helped me, answered a lot of my questions, and a number of other people have also been involved in various aspects of it. So part of the impetus behind my involvement in this was the increased interest in using harvest residues, or slash, that material that's left over after harvest, as bioenergy feedstocks. I realize the project is much larger than that, and it was designed in such a way that we can ask a lot of other questions, which is awesome. But that's the main reason that I was looking at it, because even though we've been looking at whole tree harvest for a long time, there's still a lot of lingering questions, and we still don't totally understand the full implications of removing that material from these sites. And so I had two main research questions, the first of which we wanted to know whether increasing the disturbance severity. When I say disturbance severity, I'm talking both about compaction. I did include compaction in a lot of these analyses, as well as the removal of organic matter, like we've been discussing all afternoon. So increasing disturbance severity related to both of those factors, whether that decreased standing biomass, just a general productivity question, also did it affect the rate of structural development? And part of the reason that we're asking that question is we think about the rate of structural development or stand development is being tied into site quality. And so that's one way of trying to get at whether or not site quality is being affected by these treatments. And then secondly, we're interested in whether disturbance severity, so increasing compaction, increasing the removal of organic matter, whether that then impacted community composition, recovery, which is one way of thinking about resilience, as well as functional diversity. And so those are more, those questions are trying to get at more of a long-term trajectory for these forests. So again, I used three installations from the LTSP study that are all located in the Lake States region. The closest one here, give you University of Minnesota, which you're very close to as a point of reference. The Chippewa National Forest is located just northwest of here. That was our richest site. The texture there was silty loam. The biggest difference in these sites, ranging from the Chippewa to the Huron National Forest in lower Michigan, was soil texture. They're all dominated by aspen. Site quality was highest at the Chippewa, about 23 meters at 50 years for aspen. At the Ottawa, it was only about 17, and then at the Huron, it was 18 to 19, depending on where you were at on the site. So the basic diagram that you guys have already seen a couple of times today, just showing the layout of treatments with the LTSP study. I think somebody should put together a piece of artwork with all the different diagrams that we've seen. Some creativity here. But this mainly I just want to point out that we did use the full, we crossed both of those factors fully. And so I'm going to be reporting results for all nine treatments. And they were all replicated three times at each of those three sites. This is just a picture of one of our stands at the Huron National Forest, that's in lower Michigan. The treated plots were about a quarter hectare in size, but the plots that were actually measured were 40 meters by 40 meters, so 0.16 hectares. Within those, there are subplots where, for my work, the woody vegetation has been sampled in the field over time. And I'm working with data from 5 years, 10 years, and 15 years post-harvest. And then using those data, I've used allometric biomass equations to estimate biomass for all of those different woody species. And so almost everything that I'm reporting today is based on those woody species, even when I'm talking about species diversity. So jumping into results with standing biomass, like many people have already said, the results are complicated. So I'm only going to point out a couple of things here, but with one main point with this figure is that we decided to use repeated measures, mixed effects ANOVA, to look at the response of total above ground biomass or standing biomass, tree biomass specifically, herbaceous biomass, and shrub biomass, those different components, over time, just to get an idea of how they were changing over time and how complicated this might be. And so I'll also present results just for 15 years, which are a little bit simpler and more straightforward, but there are some things that are really key about this approach. And so a couple of main points. So overall, these smaller bars, there are nine of them for each of the figures. The figures, the panels all go with the three different sites. Those smaller bars are the individual treatment combinations. So your three levels of organic matter removal, the stem-only harvest, which is SOH, whole tree harvest, the whole tree harvest plus forest floor removal, combined with the three different levels of compaction. And so we've got compaction increasing from left to right within each of those organic matter removal treatments. And then the gray bars in the background show the overall factor mean for organic matter removal. So even though there's not, because all the interactions were significant, I'm not indicating significance among those different factors, but you can see what the overall trends were. And so looking at the site with silty loam textured soils and the site with clay soils, we can see that removing residues, so with that whole tree harvest, there was no reduction in standing biomass over time after 15 years. However, if you focus in on the site with sandy soils, we did see a reduction in above ground biomass. Now, if you can see the lowercase letters indicating significance, once you include all those interactions and you're looking at it over time, the only place where we see a significant reduction in biomass is really within that intermediate compaction treatment between stem-only harvest here and forest floor removal there. But as I'll get to in a second, that's clear with the 15-year results alone. Another interesting thing to point out, and this is part of the reason that I wanted to bring in time, is the most severe disturbance treatments, so the combination of forest floor removal with the moderate and intense compaction, those led to an increase in shrub biomass, especially on those silty loam soils, and that's indicated by the yellow here. And unlike what Tim was just saying with the shrubs maybe being a positive thing out in the Pacific Northwest, they weren't necessarily here at these sites. So there appears to be a little bit of a trade-off between the shrub biomass and the tree biomass. And if you look here, another interesting part of this is that the shrubs were not responding immediately. There's a little bit of a lag. And so what we think might be going on is our treatments, especially those most severe treatments, were negatively impacting tree biomass, or especially aspen, which is predominantly regenerating through suckers, so it's vegetative reproduction. And those root systems may be impacted, which if the aspen is not regenerating well, that leaves space, basically, for those shrubs to come in. And so that's where you really see the shrub biomass increasing, the 5- and 10-year sampling periods. So at 15 years, on those sandy soils, we do see a clearer effect of our organic matter removal on total above ground biomass. So if you look here, we've got the stem-only harvest with the highest level of total above ground biomass and a significant difference between it and the forest floor removal. Whole tree harvest was not significantly different between those other two extremes when you look at total above ground biomass. But if you look at the percentage of the total above ground biomass that is made up by trees, we did see a significant difference with whole tree harvest. And then with forest floor removal, the percentage of trees was not significant, but it's because that forest floor removal treatment reduced all biomass. But with the whole tree harvest, we were specifically seeing a reduction in trees. Forest structure response also varied among the sites. We saw a reduction in density on the silty loam soils with every increase in compaction. On the sandy soils, we saw a reduction in the maximum diameter achieved by stems by 15 years. And then also forest floor removal at the other two sites reduced maximum diameter as well. And then at the Ottawa, those interactions were significant, and there really were not any clear discernible trends in either stem density or maximum diameter. So moving on to community composition. With community composition at these three sites, there really was only a response to the compaction treatments. On the sandy soils at the Huron, there was no differences among these different plots in species space. They used non-metric multidimensional scaling to quantify this. So at this site, community composition appeared to be resilient to all these different treatment combinations. But if you look at the Chippewa and at the Ottawa National Forest sites or installations, there was a difference, especially between the two extremes of compaction. And so moving from left to right, we've got increasing compaction, and the black indicates the no additional compaction. The dotted lines go along with intermediate compaction, and then that gray goes along with the heavy compaction. So the symbols themselves, the squares, the circles, and the triangles, those go along with the organic matter removal, and those are fairly distributed. It's hard, it's a little difficult to see, but those are fairly distributed across that species space. So another thing that we looked at this was community composition specifically was recovery and trying to think about resilience. And so I also used nonmetric multidimensional scaling to get at this. And what I have in this figure, this is, I'm only presenting Chippewa for the sake of time, but what I've done is I've ordinated all of these plots, these are plot means actually for all the treatments, although I did do it initially with this just for the visual. The actual analysis included all the individual plots. But I've got here 5, 10, and 15-year plots that are all over here. This is the location of the pre-treatment condition in species space for all of those plots. And the lines are connecting the same plot in time. So along the first axis down here, this is basically only capturing time, change in species composition over time. The x-axis corresponds to basically just the compaction treatment and the removal of forest floor, even though I also tested correlation with the above ground, the whole tree harvest, the removal of trees, basically. We used a continuous measure to try to quantify those treatments. So if you focus in on all of the plots that are now circled in blue, those are the 15-year plots and where they're at in species space. And they're all moving closer to the pre-harvest condition, so they are recovering. But we saw a greater distance between pre-harvest condition and those plots that were treated with the forest floor removal and the increasing compaction. And so, at least in terms of community composition, we see a reduction in resilience or slower recovery time with those, assuming that what we want is that pre-harvest community composition. As far as functional diversity goes, we quantified functional diversity using individual plant traits for all of the woody species that were present on our site. The reason that we wanted to do this is just the underlying idea that functional diversity is related to maintaining productivity and resilience over the long term. And so we were interested in whether these treatments impacted that and whether there was a relationship between the functional diversity that we quantified and standing biomass and just what that might look like. So these are the traits that we quantified or that we used. I gathered species average values from the literature and then used those to estimate a number of different functional diversity indices. I'm not going to bore you with exactly how those are quantified. I'll talk to you afterwards if you're interested. They're all trying to capture different aspects of that functional diversity using trait space in this case, that's weighted by particular species abundance at a site. So before I launch into the what we saw with the functional diversity indices, this figure gives just an overview of all of the effects that we saw across our sites in response to these different treatments. The gray bars go along with our three different sites. So we've got the silty loam soils at the top, clay soils in the middle, and then sandy soils at the bottom. And you can see the standing biomass response is the first one listed. So as organic matter removal increased, these are the general responses that we saw. So for instance, on the silty loam soils, we saw an increase in standing biomass moving from stem-only harvest to whole tree harvest, and then a slight reduction with the forest floor removal. So that just gives you an idea of what's being shown here. The main thing that I want to point out is with, especially on those silty loam soils, as the removal of organic matter increased, we actually saw an increase in those functional diversity indices, which is not exactly what we expected. We expected a reduction. And that's the opposite occurred at the Ottawa National Forest on those clay soils more in line with what we expected. So the expectation being that functional diversity would be reduced with an increase in disturbance severity. If we look at the same thing with compaction, a similar trend occurred. So with increasing compaction, there was a reduction overall in standing biomass and stem density and species richness on those silty loam soils, but we saw an increase in these functional diversity indices at this site. And so what we think is actually going on is that those functional diversity indices are more tied into the response of aspen to our treatments and aspen abundance. And so if you look at this lower panel here, I've got functional dispersion across the x-axis. That's one of the more holistic functional diversity indices that I used. And I've got shrub biomass here along the y-axis in the lower panel, and the percentage of biomass that was made up by trees in the upper panel. And you can see that there's a positive relationship in that functional dispersion, or between functional dispersion and shrub biomass, whereas there's a negative relationship between tree biomass and functional dispersion. And so that's partly related to the distribution of traits because aspen is less dominant, but it was also impacting the species that are present. And So this is the same figure that we were looking at before and just illustrating basically what I said. So with those most severe treatments, the combination of moderate and intense compaction and forest floor removal, we saw an increase in that shrub biomass, and this was really occurring later in time. And so although we often hear people talking about functional diversity as being a positive thing and potentially being tied into resilience over the long term, it's important to step back and to look at that in context and be careful about interpreting those measures. So just a couple of conclusions really quickly. Basically, with the increase of organic matter removal on those sandy soils, we saw a reduction in standing biomass, also a slower rate of development, just in terms of acquiring larger stems. And this supports other guidance that's already been made. This isn't a new finding, but that whole tree harvest may not be the best practice for those sandy soils. Maybe tied in as much to soil moisture, like many people have said today already, as it is to anything else. Secondly, soil disturbance, so both the removal of the forest floor and compaction had a negative impact on standing biomass on the finer textured soils. And so even though we did not see any negative effect of removing harvest residues, those soils really do need to be protected. And so it's with caution that we say that those can be removed without impacting productivity, but at least at this point, there doesn't appear to be a negative effect. And then lastly, organic matter removal and compaction both affected functional diversity. They did so differently across the different sites, and those responses may be tied in more directly, again, to aspen abundance than to treatments directly. So that's all I have for today. Yeah, that site definitely has biomass is much lower there. Sure. Okay.
You showed us the functional diversity differences at some point in time between the treatments. If you actually look at the functional diversity prior to treatments, was it a predictor of the functional diversity at age 5 or age 2?
Yeah. So I didn't use pre-treatment functional diversity as a predictor, but most of my analyses, I actually used change in functional diversity so that I was incorporating that and controlling for whatever was there prior. But that is, I mean, it's definitely worth looking at. I'm also interested in connecting that to later standing biomass. I'm still working on this. There's still some questions we're hoping to answer. It's a really great